Good morning to everyone. Today we are beginning a sermon series on the seven I Am sayings found in the Gospel of John. And this will take us through until Easter Sunday. We will be looking at Jesus, the bread of life today. And in the following weeks, we will be exploring the other I Am sayings of Jesus as shown on the slide. Let us commit this time to the Lord. Father, as we look into your word today, grant us understanding by your Spirit and empower us to apply your truths into our lives, even as you speak to us. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing to you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Our passage for today is found in the Gospel of John, Chapter 6, verses 25 to 44. For those who are using the Pew Bibles, you can follow along on page 755. You can also follow the outline found in the bulletin on page 7. And the 3 points mentioned, work for food that endures, focus on the giver, and look to the Son and believe, will help us to understand that Jesus is indeed the bread of life. And as we rest in, feed on, and believe in Him, we can experience the life that He gives. If I were to ask you this question, what is the best meal or the most memorable meal you have ever had in your entire life? What would you think about? Maybe for some who can't recall or it's harder to think about that, think about the last week. What was the best meal you had in this last week? Will Willimon, a former dean of Duke Chapel in the United States, was once teaching about the Lord's Supper in a local church, and he decided to ask the congregation to tell about the most memorable meal they ever had. They told of memories of meals in fancy French restaurants in Toronto, of a great little bistro they've discovered in San Francisco, of a 6-course meal at a 5-star restaurant in New York. Then one man said, "The best meal I ever had was in World War II, the morning after a night of a terrible battle. I staggered up over a hill and saw a woman from the Red Cross in a little trailer in a muddy field. She was handing out stale donuts and cold coffee. When she handed me mine, she smiled. After the night I had suffered in that place at that time, I'll have to say that was about the best meal I ever had." In today's passage, the crowds just had a very memorable meal. Jesus' miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, which we read in John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. From just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus was able to feed the crowds. And we pick off where the crowds recognize that there is something special about Jesus. In fact, before this episode, they had almost won to make him king by force. In verse 25, we read that they found him on the other side of the lake. Why were they looking for Jesus? Verse 26 tells us they were looking for him not because they saw the miraculous signs, but because they ate the loaves and the fish and had their fill, or they were filled. They wanted more of this never-ending bread. To which Jesus says in verse 27, which brings us to our first point, work for food that endures. Jesus says in verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. You see, the problem with the crowd was they wanted more of this bread, this physical food. In fact, they were willing to work to do whatever it takes to get what they wanted. Verse 28 reads, "Then they asked him, 'What must we do to do the works God requires?'" And for the Jews, this was a very natural thing to ask, because by the time of Jesus, Judaism had developed into a very complex system of laws and sub-laws. In fact, there were 613 commandments or laws that they had to follow, which was referred to as the Law of Moses or the Mosaic Laws. But Jesus' answer to them was really interesting. He says in verse 29, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." You see, it was not about getting something from Jesus or doing something to get what they wanted, but ultimately to rest in what Jesus was going to do in the case of the crowds and what Jesus has done for us on this side of history. We can understand this by thinking of these two words, do versus done. When Jesus died on the cross, he declared, "It is finished," or "It is done." And in other religions, it's all about doing something, earning your way towards salvation or enlightenment. But as Christians, it is already done. Christ has died on the cross. It's not about trying to please God by our works or even earning our way into heaven. But rather, we just need to come to Him with repentant hearts, to trust and to rest in what God has already done for mankind, to accept this gift of eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. And perhaps for some of us, we have been Christians for a long time, maybe even worshipping here at ORPC for a very long time. Just this week, I learned of a lady, one of our church members, who is in her 80s now, who has been worshipping in this church since 1959, even before Singapore independence. Wow! Praise the Lord. But sometimes, you know, as Christians, and being a Christian for such a long time, we might become tired. We might feel discouraged. We feel like we always have to work towards something, towards God. Maybe you have been serving in the church for a long time and run the risk or the danger of becoming drained or burnt out. Even as a church or even in our different ministries, we run the risk of doing church or getting everyone to do more for the Lord. When we forget that first and foremost, it is about being. It's about resting in the finished work of Christ, focusing on nurturing our faith, our relationship with Jesus, knowing that we are children of God, first and foremost, and simply coming and believing in the one He has sent, His one and only Son, to die on the cross, our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. It is done. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And as we rest in Christ's work, finished work, we can experience the life that He gives. Which brings us to point two, focus on the giver, verses 30 to 36. And as the conversation continues between Jesus and the crowd, it seems that they are coming closer to realizing who Jesus really was and what He was saying. They ask in verse 30, "What miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe you?" Now we're talking about Jesus as the bread of life and Jesus feeding the 5,000 from just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And I wonder in the modern day context, if someone like that comes up to you, what would you do? Let's watch this short video.
稍微的揉一下，在这里稍微的揉一下。 这里还有一个，这块面团比较大，可以仔细看，稍微揉一下，做一个球。
Now, this guy is a magician, as you might know already. His name is Yif, and he's based in Taiwan. And recently, this video went out and got viral because it was shown on the Ellen Show, you know, in the United States. But don't be fooled by such magic tricks. In fact, he has admitted to using CGI effects. It's not even a real magic trick. So magicians like that come and go. We even have religious leaders who claim to be the Messiah, to claim to be Jesus Christ. But these two come and go. At the end of the day, we only have one true and living God. Come down in the flesh, the true Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen. Now the crowds were excited about Jesus, perhaps like something like this, you know, watching such a miracle happen. They realized there was something special about him. And they asked for a sign in verse 30, as we just read, so that they can believe him. They bring up the example of Moses and the Israelites who were fed manna from heaven. Now why do you think they brought this up? You see, the Passover feast was near. And read this in chapter 6, verse 4. And the Passover was a time where they would remember what God had done for them in the time of Exodus, delivering them from Pharaoh and from Egypt, and wandering in the desert, but also the stories and the memories of what God has done to sustain them. One of the stories being the feeding of manna from heaven. And so Jesus has to remind them in verse 32 that at the end of the day, it wasn't even Moses that gave them this bread. It says, it was God the Father who gives the true bread from heaven that gives life to the world. He wants them to focus on the giver rather than on the gift of bread. And he goes on in verse 35, in the first I am saying in the Gospel of John, to say, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me shall never be thirsty. And Jesus isn't talking here about physical hunger, but really about a spiritual hunger for God and for the things of God. You see, the manna story in Exodus is actually a spiritual metaphor for how God feeds us His Word. And we read this in Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. It says, He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Recently this week, there was an article in Channel News Asia that said, Singapore needs to rethink food wastage. A study was shown to see that in 2014, Singapore generated about 790,000 tons of food waste, equivalent to 2 bowls of food per person per day. And only 13% of that amount was recycled. Over the past 10 years, the amount of food waste Singapore generates has increased by about 48%. And the number is set to increase as the country continues to grow. A couple of years back, who could forget the Hello Kitty craze in 2000? And basically, this was a promotion by McDonald's. You buy a meal and you get a free gift. Okay, and in this case was a limited edition Hello Kitty dolls. And there were eight dolls, that came out. And it was a nationwide phenomenon. Children and youth were skipping school to go and queue up in the lines. Adults were skipping work. I remember I was in university at that time, and boyfriends would skip class, to brave the queues for their girlfriends just to get a Hello Kitty doll. And in this case, it wasn't even about the food. It was about the free gift. In fact, it reached a point where people were just buying the McDonald's meals just to get the Hello Kitties and discarding tons of wasted hamburgers. So, in this case, the limited Hello Kitty dolls was what they deemed was of value. People were actually selling this on the black market at inflated prices. And for ourselves, in our own Christian lives, what do we deem as important? What are you willing to invest your time, your money, even your life on? Do we hunger and thirst after the things of God? Do we hunger and thirst after God's word? Like the World War II veteran who remembered his most memorable meal, stale donuts and cold coffee. Sometimes the best meal that we might have had isn't necessarily the most elaborate or the most expensive. The hungrier we are, sometimes the better the food or the better the meal. God invites us to live and to feed on His word, not just on bread alone, but on His everlasting word. But we need to be careful though, that our study of Scripture doesn't just end as being study of Scripture. Jesus warns in the previous chapter, in chapter 5, verse 39 and 40, you diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me and have life. By learning and studying God's word, yes, of course, that is of value. But at the end of the day, why do we do all these things? So that we may know not just the word of God, but the God of the word. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And as we feed on the word of God, we can experience the life that he gives. Lastly, point three, look to the Son and believe, verses 37 to 44. Jesus starts this passage by talking about believing in the one he has sent. In verse 29, when he says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And he continues here in verse 40 by saying, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The thing that the Jews and the crowd have been missing throughout this whole episode is the fact that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the Savior they have been waiting for all these years. Earlier in verse 27, Jesus says, work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And later in verse 36, he says, you have seen me, and yet, and still, you do not believe. In fact, Judaism at the time of Jesus understood that there was a storehouse or a treasury of manna in heaven that had been opened to feed the people during the time of Moses. And in Jewish writings, there are two sayings. The treasury of manna shall again descend from on high, and they will eat of it in those years. So as the first Redeemer caused manna to descend, so will the latter Redeemer cause manna to descend. And this was talking and pointing to the messianic coming of Christ, the Messiah, the Savior that they have been waiting and longing for. And here was Jesus declaring to the Jews, I am the bread of life. I have come down from heaven, in verse 38. Believe in me and have eternal life. And they missed it. They missed it. All the way through scriptures, all the way through the gospels, even to the point of his death, even after his resurrection, even up to today, the Jews are still waiting for the Messiah's first coming. They missed it. Why does Jesus end this section by talking about believing in him again? What has this got to do with us as Christians who already believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior? You see, the original Greek here for belief is in the present continuous tense, or better translated, keep on believing or continue to believe. Yes, all of us as Christians have decisively made a decision at some point in our lives to follow and to believe in Jesus. But this continues as a lifelong journey of faith. We need to keep preaching the gospel to ourselves. Christmas, we just celebrated, and Easter is coming up in a couple of months. Do these events become cliché in our Christian life, year in and year out? Or do we approach them with childlike faith, like when we first became Christians, with thanksgiving and with rejoicing in what Christ has done for us? And what is the purpose of this? That we may believe and experience the life that Jesus gives. And the life that he's talking about here, yes, is eternal life. One day that we can enjoy and spend with God in heaven. But Jesus also says, and we will look at this further down in the series, that he is the life and that he has come that we might have life to the full, abundant life, even here on earth. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And as we believe in him, we can experience the life that he gives. As we end this time, perhaps, it's also fitting, because this passage doesn't end here in talking about Jesus as the bread of life. It goes on from verses 45 all the way to 59. And the point here is that scholars believe in John's Gospel, the Lord's Supper in the upper room between Jesus and his disciples was not recorded. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but not in John. But many believe that this is one of the closest analogies of what it means to have the Lord's Supper, because Jesus further on goes on to talk about eating of the flesh, drinking of the blood. And as we look at the comparisons between the Passover and the Lord's Supper, we see that there are actually many similarities. And those of us in the Reformed tradition believe that as new covenant believers of the community, we remember the Lord's Supper in the way that the Israelites remembered Passover. In the Lord's Supper, we remember Christ. We see Jesus, the Lamb of God, as our perfect sacrifice. We partake of the bread and the wine to remind us of what he has done for us on the cross. His blood was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. We are indeed that new covenant community. And we remember the Lord's Supper as often as we meet. I just joined the church in December, and I've been attending a lot of activities, both in the youth and the young adults. And I was just telling the young adults the other day, I said, you know, every time I come for an event, there's always food, you know. Snacks, you know, food. It's like when we went for a young adult retreat, it's like, wow, it's like a mama shop, you know. Everything you want is there, and it's not just, cheapo kind of things, but good stuff. And I joke with them, I say, you know, it's like Christians, we come for fellowship. In Cantonese, we call it fellowship, you know. Fellow means fat person, you know, or fat fellow, you know. And it seems as Christians, you know, a lot of our activities center around food. And the Lord's Supper is no different as well. You know, we don't celebrate communion alone. We come together as a body of Christ to remember over a meal, in a symbolic meal in that sense, what Christ has done for us. As we end this time, what is our response to God's word today? What is our response as we hear Jesus declare that he is the bread of life? Firstly, we can rest in Christ's finished work. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. We can feed on the word of God, but recognizing at the end of the day, it's all about knowing Jesus. And lastly, that we can believe and experience the life that he gives. At the end of John 6, many of his disciples actually desert Jesus. And Jesus turns to the 12 and asks, "Will you believing too?" And this is what Peter said to him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Indeed, Jesus is the bread of life. And as we rest in, feed on, and believe in him, we can experience the life that he gives. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word to us today. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross, that we might have life. Help us, Lord, to rest in your finished work, to feed on your word, and to truly come and believe so that we can experience your life. In Jesus' name, amen.